Romans chapter number 12 and verses 1 and 2, two of my favorite verses in the Bible, written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and something that I think the Lord would have us preach about tonight. I'll go ahead and read verses 1 and 2 once we get there, and then I'll pray and we'll jump right into it tonight. Sure. Get us going there. All right. All right, is everybody there? All right, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this amazing church, for Pastor Ross, for the opportunity that we have to be here to speak tonight. Lord, please be with me now as I speak to say what you would have me to say. In your name, amen. God can use anyone who is willing to be used. And that is evidenced by the man standing behind the pulpit today. I never thought that I would have the opportunity to be a missionary for him. And God, you really orchestrated that in my life. I didn't know that was what was going to happen. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about your reasonable service. Let's look back on our verses here. Paul starts out verse number 1, beseeching, imploring, begging, pleading, if you will, a very specific request. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Who is he talking to? The brethren. That's you and me, those of us who are saved. How many are saved tonight? Amen. All right. I am so excited and happy to know that I'm saved. He's beseeching by the mercies of God. So he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, talking to us, the brethren, by the mercies of God. What does that mean? That means that we do not deserve anything that we've been given. It is only by the mercy of God that I am saved from an eternity in hell. And I am so happy that I am saved and I don't have to go to hell. But God can use anyone. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He is begging to the brethren by the mercies of God, those of us who do not deserve it, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. God calls every one of us to serve him. Calls every one of us to serve him. That's not a specific request for just me or for Pastor Ross or for anybody else here tonight. It's for every single one of us. One of the things that amazes me about the disciples that Jesus chose is that none of them jump out as being particularly special. None of them held positions in the synagogue. They didn't have academic degrees. None of them were priests. They didn't hold important positions in the government. Most of them were common laborers. I'm sure that they were well learned in their craft, but besides that, they would not be considered highly educated. In fact, the world called them unlearned and ignorant, if you remember in Acts 4, verse 13. Yet Jesus chose these men to be the ones to reach the world for Christ. You know what stuck out about these men? They were willing to learn, and they were willing to serve him. God can use anyone who's willing to be used. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. There's a lot of people much more qualified than me to take the gospel to the world. But God called me. When I stop and think about that, it's actually a little bit scary. But in fact, God called every one of us. Go ye therefore is a command for all of us to answer. He continues the verse to say, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says here, your reasonable service. As a vile sinner condemned to hell, who's been saved by the blood of Jesus, how can I not want to serve him? Jesus died for me. It is my reasonable service. I want to live for Christ because it is the very least that I can do. It is my reasonable service. My favorite song is Come Thou Fount. And I love the third verse where he says, O to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. I am a debtor to the grace of God. I owe him all. I owe him everything that I have. I need to take the next step and serve him today. Oftentimes we pray for God's blessing, but we're not willing to take that next step for him. I'm a debtor to the grace of God. God wants us to serve him, and we want God's blessing. Sometimes making that connection is the hardest part. When I was a teenager, we first went to Peru. We started two churches in the first 2 years that I was there. And my dad is actually still the pastor of one of those churches. And we were just us. We were the only people there at the beginning. We started in a church member's home, someone that we reached, and they got saved. And we had recently, right after that, we had a lady come get saved, and she brought her teenage daughter. And it was an amazing story. I was able to witness to her, and I was not the one that invited her to church. I think it was one of my either my dad or my mom invited the lady to come to church, but I was the one who was able to witness to her on Sunday after the service. She got saved. And then just this past couple weeks ago, her daughter graduated from Bible college. And it was great. She brought her daughter to church. They've been in church ever since. Her daughter went to San Luis Potosí, Pastor Luis Ramos, who was a missionary to Mexico there. And she went to college there. She graduated and she came back to join our staff at our church. And it's amazing to see how God will use those kind of things. But I was there. We were young. I was young. I was a teenager. And they had me doing all sorts of stuff just because there's nobody else to do it at the time. And our church was growing. So we were running everywhere. And I would lead singing. And then I would go do this. And I would help pass out the offering plates and, you know, work my way around. And usually there was a little window about 5 to 10 minutes every Sunday service that I could run down afterwards right before the preaching. And because our church is on a second floor, I would go down the steps, I'd stand out, and I'd just pass out some tracts for a minute, kind of just take a breather, and people would be walking by on Sunday. We're on a busy intersection. And every week, for the longest time, this one guy came by, and he was one that you might consider a ragamuffin. He was very dirty. He wore the same clothes every time we saw him. And honestly, most folks there can't really afford more than one or two sets of clothes, but he never cleaned himself up. He really didn't look very presentable. But it didn't make a difference to me. We invite him to church, and every week I'd say, hey, well, I'd like to invite you to come to church with us. And he would be walking by, and he'd say, yes, you know what? I'll come. One of these days I'm going to come. And he always asked the same question. He said, Brother Zach, because by that time he knew my name, would you pray for me? I really need to get a good job so that I can support my family. So my family is really in a tough time right now. We're struggling, and I don't have enough money to put food on the table or pay for all the bills. He said, would you just pray that I could get a good job? Once I have a good job, I will come to church on Sunday. I'll bring my family to church and we'll be here. I said, all right, I'll pray for you. You know, he said, we're always here anytime you want to come to service. And every week I'd hear the same thing. He'd say the same thing. I'd invite him to church again. I'm sure he has a stack of tracts at home by now. But I would invite him every time. And he'd say he was going to come to church. Well, one week I'm standing down there and I see him come walking up to the church. And he's walking right towards me. And he's got a big smile on his face. And he was wearing a suit and tie. I don't know where he got it. I don't know how it happened. Somehow he took a bath or found a bath somewhere, and he was all cleaned up. He comes walking right towards me, and I'm standing there on the street, and I was still just a little bit in shock. My mouth was open. I was like, you know, and I got my track there, and I guess, I was like, wow, look at you. I said, welcome. Come right upstairs. We'll take you right into church. We're so glad to see you. Thanks for coming. He looked at me, he said, oh no, he said, I'm not coming to church. God gave me a great job. He said, I have a wonderful job. Now I have to work on Sundays, but it's a great job. I can afford everything I need now. He walked right by me, went to the corner and got on a public transportation bus and just went straight to work. And I just stood there dumbfounded, like, what in the world? You know, honestly, a lot of times, God has something he wants us to do. He wants us to take that next step for him. He has something that he wants us to do, but we're never willing to take that next step. We pray for God's blessing and that God would help us through whatever situation we have in our life. But it's so hard to take that next step and say, you know what, God, I'm going to serve you today. Just today, God, I'm going to start off right here and right now, and I'm going to serve you today. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You'll see nowadays a lot of celebrities will get this tattooed on their hand, or you'll see them posted on social media, or it'll be everywhere, and all these famous people saying, all things work together for good. A lot of times, though, they don't ever seem to remember the end of the verse. The Bible says, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm saved. God has saved me from an eternity in hell. I am the called according to his purpose. It should be my desire to live according to his purpose. Is there a fire that burns inside you every day when you wake up that says, God, I've got to do your will today. Lord, what do you want me to do today? How can I serve you with this day? Lord, I got to serve you today. All things work together for good to them that love God. The called according to his purpose. That is you and me, those who are saved. One time when we were I was still a teenager, we were in Peru. We made our first trip into the jungle, and it was just my family that went on this trip. We went for the very first time, and it was exciting. We were pumped about it. Normally, when we go to the jungle, we take a plane and then we take a boat to get to wherever we're going. On this particular trip, we went to a different place that we normally go to, and we were visiting churches in the northern part of Peru, a little bit away from the river. And so we took a bus ride. Well, we got on one of those public transportation buses. They were very comfortable. They were nice, double-decker bus. It had a bathroom in there. They had these giant first-class airplane seats that recline all the way to the back. It was nice, and I thought, man, this is the life. Well, we were on that bus for 14 hours, and we were on that bus going over the mountains, the Andes Mountains, through one of the tallest, highest cities in the world. It's called Ticlio, and we live at sea level, so we live right there at zero, and we were going through one of the highest cities in the world and over the top of the Andes Mountains, and I had never done that before, but we did all of that in one straight trip. So every single one of us on the bus, we all got altitude sickness, and we got it bad. I mean, I don't want to gross anybody out today, but we were making frequent trips in and out of that bathroom. It was not nice. And on top of that, the people that were on this bus ride with us, they're from the jungle or from the city of Lima, because we're going to the jungle or we're from the city of Lima. Both of those places are relatively warm climates. It never gets down below 50 degrees where we live in Lima. And in the jungle, it averages around 80 degrees all year round. So these people have never seen cold weather. Well, when we go through Ticlio, it is one of the highest cities in the world, and it also happens to be one of the only places in Peru that gets snow. So these people have never seen snow before, or maybe have only seen it once in their life traveling to the city. So they are very scared. For some reason, they've got superstitions about it. They're scared. They're going through this tall city. They're going into snow, and they're seeing snow for the first time. So they rolled up all the windows, and they cranked up the heat. So we're all sick already to our stomachs. And on top of that, the windows are fogged up. And we couldn't get any of the windows down. We're just kind of going back and forth like this. And then have any of you all ever been to Gatlinburg? You know when you're driving around through Pigeon Forge area and you go up on those windy, twisty turns that go into the Great Smoky Mountains? Okay, that's kind of what it was like, where you have these straight drop-off cliffs on one side. And on the other side, you've got the sheer rock wall of the mountain. Well, we're going around this in this giant bus, and it is twisted. There's no railings on the side. You've got these straight cliffs that go hundreds of feet down, and we're looking out the window and like trying to rub the fog off the window and see out there. It was a blessing. Well, we're going around, and we get up there, and all of a sudden, the bus driver comes over the intercom, and he says, "Hey, you folks need to look out over to your left off the edge of the cliff." So we look down there, and there's a bus at the bottom of the cliff that looked just like our bus. It had the same company sign on the side. It was the same color as our bus. It was the exact same bus. And the bus driver says, "Well, that bus went off the edge about a week ago." And it was very, we were a little bit shocked. We're looking down at this bus and they said, "Nobody survived. It went straight down to the bottom and everybody that was on the bus died." Now, we're all like, "Oh my goodness." And we just committed to this 14-hour ride. We can't get off now. There's nowhere to go. You're going to get there or you know what? We just got to stay on the bus. What had happened was the bus was going around. It was dark outside. They were following the taillights of the car ahead of them. And as you see, and if you ever go to Gatlinburg, you'll see that oftentimes on the side, they'll have signs that say, "Watch for fallen rock." Well, they didn't have one of those in the jungle. And as they're going around the side of the mountain, evidently, a large rock had fallen off the side of the mountain, broken off part of the road, and the car that was going ahead had followed the road and went straight off the edge. And the bus followed the taillights ahead of it, and it just went right after them. And we were very lucky not to have that happen to us. I say lucky, we were blessed. I know God saved us for a reason. We made it to the jungle safely, and we made it back safely again on that bus. But I was dreading that bus ride home, I can tell you that. You know, a lot of times people can't see Christ, but they can see you. And they will see wherever you guide them, and you may not be physically guiding them, but wherever you're going, there's a lot of people in this life that will be watching you. And we are called to serve God. It is our reasonable service to do what God wants us to do. He has something that He wants you to do in this life. He may not want you to be a missionary, but it's possible that He wants you to join a bus route. It's possible that He has someone that He wants you to witness to. And I don't know what it is for your life, but I definitely know what it is for my life. And God has called all of us to serve Him. And the very least we can do, it is our reasonable service to pass out a tract, to invite somebody to church, to take that next step to serve God. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And you saw that. We used that verse in our video. It's a very common verse. We all pretty much know that verse. But we've kind of taken that as our personal verse, because at the end there where it says unto the uttermost part of the earth, Cassandra and I believe that we are actually physically called to go to the uttermost part of the earth. And we know that. It's exciting, but it's a big step in faith. We were engaged, we weren't married yet. We were making decisions on what we were going to do. I had already decided that I was going to serve God with my life. I was getting ready to graduate from Hiles Anderson with a pastoral theology degree, just hoping that no matter what, where God guided me, that we would be able to serve him and I would be capable of doing whatever he wanted me to do. But we didn't know where God wanted us to go. And it was Sunday night. It was in the middle of the summer. We were sitting at First Baptist Church, and Pastor Wilkerson gets up there and he's preaching away. And I don't know if you ever heard him preach, but he's kind of got this real calm way that he goes through everything. And he showed a video from my dad from Team Peru, and he showed it on the big screen. And they had just had their pastor's conference, the biggest one they ever did. It was in 2019. And they brought all these local pastors from the jungle to come to the city of Lima for the first time. Many of them had never left the jungle before. And due to many donations from churches here in America, they were able to pay their ticket to get them to the conference there. And for the first time, they were able to hear things and teaching on things like soul winning and discipleship and standards. It was amazing. They had a great time. And we were sitting there, we watched the video and the pastors giving their testimony, and we started crying. Pastor Wilkerson gets up there and preach. And we just knew that God wanted us to go to Peru. And I didn't have to say anything to Cassandra. I didn't have to do anything at all. We just preached, and he was preaching, and I knew it. And I said, God, if you really want us to go to Peru, you've got to show us for sure, though. I felt like Gideon in the Bible. I was like, we're going to make this thing. If this is really what you want us to do, this is a big step. And so I said, God, just if this is what you want us to do, tell us that this is what you're going to show us that this is the thing. And the very next words out of Pastor Wilkerson's mouth, he said, maybe some of you tonight saw the video about Peru, and maybe God is calling you to be a missionary to Peru. Oh, my goodness, here it is. So we knew it, and as soon as it was over, we got up, we went forward, and we surrendered to missionaries to go to Peru. And God has blessed us every step of the way. As soon as we took that first step in faith, God began to bless. And he's taken care of us every step of the way, all the way to get here. He blessed us so much, and there's so many stories I could tell you of times that God just stepped in and took care of us when we didn't know what that next step was going to be. It was just a few months later. We were married for a few months, and we had to leave our apartment. We sold all our furniture and everything that we'd already bought that we were going to put in there, and we gave the keys back to the landlord. I remember just looking at our empty apartment thinking, boy, it's real now, you know, and God took care of us. He blessed us. We got all the way to Peru, and I can tell you this one amazing story about taking that next step in faith. When we went to the jungle for one of these pastors' conferences, we had about 20 different pastors from that local area that came to us. And we got to do all the teaching that I mentioned before. And they gave me the opportunity to preach on soul winning, which out of all the other pastors and guys there, I was very blessed to have that opportunity. So I preached on soul winning, and then afterwards I taught on soul winning. So I went through the track. We brought tracks to give to the local pastors there. They were blank. They could put their name on them. We got stacks of them, and we gave everyone out, and I just walked them through the track one by one. And then afterwards, we split up, and each one of us team members went with one of the local pastors individually, and we went soul winning together. And we had a great time. I got to go with a local pastor named Gary. And Gary was from about 6 hours away by boat, or about an hour and a half hiking if you go over the mountains, he said, but it was dangerous, so they don't do that very often. So they go around by boat to get there. And we got to go together, and I was able to lead someone to Christ. And not long after, just a few minutes, he got to lead someone to Christ. But while he was witnessing, I heard him, and he was using the exact same illustrations that I used. And I thought, boy, my illustrations are still kind of American. You know, like, I'm used to saying things differently. I put things in there that they might not understand. So that took me a while to get accustomed. And well, he was using a lot of the same things. And afterwards, we walked away, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, Brother Zach, I have never done that before. This is the first time I've ever led someone to Christ. And this was the pastor. And he said, our church doesn't do that. He said, but we're going to start doing it now. And it was so exciting to see. And that was not because of me or what a great person or a wonderful missionary or the big white guy that shows in or short white guy that shows up. It wasn't because of that, but it was because just taking that next step, one step at a time. I never thought that I would get the chance to be that deep in the jungle witnessing with a local pastor who got to see someone saved for the first time. I don't know what God has for you for your life. It was in the 1970s, a local bus pastor in Chicago knocked on the door of my mother-in-law and invited her to come to church for the first time. And because of that, we get to be missionaries today. And somebody just took that first step. And if you'll make that decision to take the first step and serve God today, when you wake up tomorrow and say, God, how can I serve you today with this day? And decide to, you know what, God, I'm going to do it today and tomorrow and just every day one at a time. The Bible says in Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. I can promise you that it'll be worth your while. I can promise you that. God will always take care of you. All right, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to start the invitation now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe there's someone here today for the first time who's don't know for sure that they have a home in heaven, that they have an eternity in heaven. They're not sure that if they died today, they would get the chance to be with Jesus. And if that's you today, maybe tonight is the night that you could get that settled. We'd love to help you take care of that. Maybe tonight you're here and you've been in church for a long time, but God has a step that he'd like you to take to serve him in your local life today. Maybe he has something big he wants you to do. Maybe he has something small. He just needs you to take that first step so he can guide you to where he'd have you to go. Maybe it's tonight, time tonight that you make that decision. We're going to pray, and then we'll have the invitation. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for allowing us to serve you. Thank you for saving us so that we don't have to spend an eternity in hell. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you with every day of our lives. We love you very much. Amen.